We'll call the special session to order at 6:01, and we'll have a roll call vote, please.
Dan Burko here.
Councilor McAfee here.
Mayor Ryder here.
Mayor Ken Mornax, and the Pledge of Allegiance. And Miss Mayor Kate, would you please?
My pleasure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This special session has before us a resolution number 2011-10, budget adoption and appropriations. We have passed the budget, and this is the resolution to implement it.
I should have had it the last meeting.
Yeah.
And it's just a housekeeping.
Yeah, it's just basically housekeeping. So are there any questions? Have you looked at it or thought about it? And
we have to file that with the county assessor. That's where it goes.
Okay.
I make a motion we approve resolution 2011-10.
Second. Any discussion?
Yeah, so the tourism fund, so we have the 47.6. What was that transferred to other funds?
Well, now I have to look at the budget. We actually held the hearing.
We talked about it.
Well, I do remember the 47.6, but I don't remember the 20.
One is to general fund.
Which one? Adele?
The tourism.
Oh, that's our 30% the city gets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The 30 off of the 78 comes to
okay.
that.
Yeah. All those in favor?
Is there a second on that?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Done.
Oh,
okay.
Aye.
Mayor concurs. Passed. I entertain a motion to adjourn. Special session.
I shall move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? We're adjourned. I will call the work session to order at 6:04. And all councilors are here except Stu Martinez. Let the record reflect that he is absent with permission. And we've had our Pledge of Allegiance. Are there any added agenda items?
None here.
Okay, discussion on staffing.
This is really, I expect you guys to talk mostly, and so I can start working on, so let's really think of this as total round robin discussion as to what kind of the first thing, so I can start. Then I can come back with stuff. But obviously, we're time goes by quicker than a person thinks. So we've got 6 months, and we really need to get us a finance-type recorder person and a city manager slash whatever you want. And we'd end up in that with 2.5 to 3 full-time people. And then that would then take us forward for a couple years or beyond, other than what transfers via the sewer districts and water, building mm-hmm. clerk and so on. The only reason I say 2.5, probably it's 3/4 time, you know, whether or not you want it to be 3 FTEs, Patty and 2 others, or 2 3/4, we have a little more luxury than a lot of cities because we're new. If we were an existing city, you'd be really, under the gun. But at the same time, we don't want to create if we don't know, because you're better off having that person work 3/4 time to take that money and put it into planning or something. Mm-hmm. Even after we get sewer and water, as long as you have some kind of run, the city manager's kind of helping manage that with the staff they have and everything, whether or not there's full-time work for that third position, I don't know. I mean, it's a little hard to know. certainly for a while, just because of the confusion of a new bookkeeping system, taking their systems on. You know, so maybe it's like you worry about that a couple of years from now after things smooth out, if they're, you know, the next time there's a change or something. Or because it is really hard to predict, A, what do we need? We have no idea what really goes on over there. So, but I, you know, we definitely need to have someone doing finance internally. I mean, I think it's pretty clear to me that we can't contract that out, and I don't know what you guys think about that. So, there's, you know, you can just start. But the first position I thought we should hire would be obviously that. Now, the other option you could do is just continue like we are, do none of that, wait for the city manager to come, and then let them hire a city recorder and all that. The only trouble is, usually, a city manager that arrives in the first 30 days, about the last thing they want to do is start getting into a hiring process and hunting a new software system when that person really needs to be working on sewer and water coming and melding that all together.
Yeah. I agree with that.
So, what I thought, if we were to start with the kind of the recorder slash finance person, where they start transitioning and getting up to speed on a new software system to where we operate on it with just what we have. We integrate our budgets in, and you know, it's easy. You know how to read them. We all know how to get the bugs. It does get bugs in these things. And you know, anytime you go to new software, then you start learning how you're going to transition in the water system after you know it well. By then, you'd have your new city manager on board, and then they could start.
Do you think it's possible to attract, you know, the kind of quality person that we want on a basis where they understand coming in that, you know, it may not be exactly full-time immediately, we don't know exactly where we're going, but we kind of think we do, and then we could, you know, have some flexibility with that person, because we want to be prepared as well as possible, use your time as much as we can to help them get prepared and all of us get prepared, and yet if we find we don't, you know, we may only need a, you know, 6 hour or a half time or whatever. I mean,
well, it'll be more than half time.
Okay.
It's well, definitely once you get sewer and water here.
Yeah.
Well, what's our time? Doesn't that kind of depend on the staff that is with sewer and water and stuff too?
Well, not in that sense, and because my thought on that is that you're only going to have one person doing books. So,
sure.
The fact that they have someone doing it now, that there's no way you're going to have that continue. So, what we have to do is take, you know, I don't know how many hours they spend on it over there currently. But, you know, plenty. And then, what we're currently spending, and then upgrading, spending more time on it. So, maybe that's a half time. Maybe that's 0.4 if between the two. But then we used to have Luana or someone else here, and then doing the recorder work, and then they're kind of the catch-all. She's absent, they do minutes. If you know, I mean, they're keeping the office open. They're doing all the other things that we miss out on now for recordings and filings, and they handle the elections. That's the typical city recorder stuff. Because this new city manager, if they're going to do a lot of public work stuff and be city manager, they don't really have time to be, they don't need to be getting into elections and, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Where would we start looking for a financial recorder type person?
Most smaller cities, you need to be careful when you say most, but it's not uncommon that the recorders do the, yeah, they're doing the bookkeeping.
Right, yeah.
What they tend to have is a clerk that helps, and the city recorder is the city manager slash finance. They tend to be two employees. When you go to all these little towns of 1,000, 500 people, they tend to have two employees, one and a half to two. Mm-hmm. The one does everything. And, you know, and a lot of them have other, they have more than QuickBooks, they have other systems. So, you know, you test the water a little. Well, we'd have to pay more than some of those little places probably for.
So do we need a description of what this person is? I mean,
well, first you need what you want, then we start to draw the description.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is that if we start the discussion on what our goals are, what do we want accomplished, you know, and then try to fit something in.
And we can draw a description for whatever we need.
Yeah.
I think it's reasonable to think that a financial recorder is probably the first place to start. Just for everything you've already outlined, I think that
recorder.
Okay, so we would need someone to do the budget, somebody to do the minutes and the filings, and like the recorder type position, right?
They would sign off on the minutes and things. She's going to take the minutes.
Right.
You would want, let's see, it's things like I mean, they're going to help develop resolutions, ordinances, orders, prepare agendas. They do would help prepare agendas. Filing public records requests, handle all elections issues. They become kind of the assistant to the manager when they're gone. Fill in a small city like this, I think, you know what, they'll catch all. They do. But their primary area is kind of, you know what, it's what Luana did with what
Mary
does with what Donna does in the part of her day that she does bookkeeping. You know, that's really kind of what it is.
Okay.
I think the trick is finding people on the bookkeeping end, more so than the recording. You can learn the recording side.
Yeah.
You
know, I think you're right.
If you don't understand bookkeeping at all, and there's like two or three cities that have things out right now for recorders, bookkeeper types,
okay.
And I've gotten those off the Oregon City's websites.
Well, it would be somebody that's willing to work with current technology for the accounting, you know, the software. So that's one criteria that I could see, and I think that financing mode is probably the primary thing we're bookkeeping part.
So are we going to have this person implement the new software, or is it going to be in place already?
No, they need to implement it because Mary can't.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So I think we send that to the school. See, most of these companies that do this, they require like a week training class. You go to them. So you want that person on board, and then they learn it.
Okay, so then would that person also be managing like the consultant? So that, because we're going to be working hand in hand with that consultant to get.
You're talking Mary.
No,
this
consultant
person.
That for the new software.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, the city manager is going to work with it too. But I mean, the person again, the first day they're going. But yes, they're going to learn that system. And
no, I mean, when it integrates into our accounting system, like you know, like all of our accounts and everything. So yeah. Is the consultant going to lay that all out, and then they're just going to come in and it's?
Most of these, like Cassell. What you do as an example, you actually just what we did with our chart of accounts with Greermar, you make a backup disk, you send it to Cassell, and they go in and they migrate it into their system. Our stuff is very small.
And then you've got this trained person or the one they've trained that takes that system and massages
it. And I imagine they have all kinds of where you they can do it off-site. In other words, the person sits there, they have control of the computer and, you know, can do all that stuff with the systems. But no, we would send it off, they said. They migrate it in.
Mm-hmm.
And since we don't have any utilities yet, that's pretty easy to migrate. I mean, really, it's just taking our chart of accounts and setting it up how we want and how that new system works. The person learns to run it. You may, depending on the software system, you may have someone that already knows it. Probably.
So if we have an accountant on this end and then like a finance clerk on this end, where do you see that level of expertise? Where do you see the person coming in needing?
Well, a long ways from an accountant. I don't know.
What I'm curious about is what is complex, or what was the rub why Mary couldn't like just overtake those? Is it accounting principles that, or what is it that?
I think it would be highly unusual for you to have a, in other words, a contract employee that is learning your system. In other words, Deborah has her system that she does. She trains, she keeps up on it, she does whatever. We're going to go out and spend thousands of dollars on a system that's owned by us, that's ours.
Yes.
And you probably need, and then again, you have sewer and water coming, which is going to triple our bookkeeping stuff or more. I mean, it's just, it's a night and day difference. And I think there's just good reasons that, probably the current contract situation won't work.
So we're going to need someone with probably about 4 years' experience?
I mean, you know, like I say, I'll take some of these ones that these other cities are doing. Everyone's looks for these. I mean, these are pretty common positions. You know, the software is pretty good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, you take the bills. It's really learning how to key in. This is a power bill, and this is that. Or is it connected to sewer? Is it connected to water? You know, over time, you'll learn all of that. Because you do a lot of cost accounting. You're dividing where all of these things go. That's the key. And one thing about these programs, unlike QuickBooks, it all has to balance. So QuickBooks doesn't make you balance. And that's the problem with QuickBooks. So, you know, they'll be there all night making it balance if they can't get
it. So is this person going to do the OB forms and all of that?
It would depend, you know, I mean, it would depend. It could be between them and the city manager that will do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say in most smaller cities, the city manager's involved. I mean, they're maybe doing it, and then the city manager. So I think it's a team effort in towns of 1,600 people. I mean,
what's an LB form?
The one you just did.
That's the budget.
The budget forms.
Yeah.
The 10s, 20s, and 30s.
You know, and it would depend on where that person came from. You know, if you got someone, and they might be in a group where the manager did it, and they simply, or they could be in a group where they did them all.
Sid had a little bit of that experience. She talked to
me. She didn't do budget. She didn't do numbers.
Okay. I thought she had, so.
You need someone, I mean, on the finance side, someone, you know, I would say that you want someone that, that understands accounts receivable, accounts payable, utility billing, payroll, you know. They need to understand basically a variety of accounting, advanced secretarial, and provide support to all the city operations. I mean, your public works is going to call, and they're wanting to go, they've got a purchase order maybe, they're going to go buy something. And the person will be your kind of clerk of the works, and like anyone, they'll grow with the job, and we're an infant city. If we don't get anyone to apply, then I mean, you know, you go from there. Either you decide if it's money or, but all 300 cities, 240 cities have someone doing it, so it's, I mean, they're out there.
Having looked at the point that we need this type of person, what is our timeline to think about? When would we think about having this person in place?
Well, I'd want to start working on it and get him in here in October.
First of August? Third September?
Well, you're not going to get him. I mean, I'd have to go work a timesheet on that. I mean,
yeah.
You have to, but it depends, on, the first depends on when you guys are, when we say move forward and let's do it. I mean, our next meeting is in July, so you're not going to have anyone here in August or September because we haven't even decided to do it yet.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I would say October.
Okay.
Maybe between October and November. And then, you know, try to, they don't need to stay here too long before we convert to the new software system. I mean, we can be working on that before they can get here. You know, we'll go out and do interviews and have some people come in and show off their systems and talk to other cities that are using it. And there's like only three or four that you're probably going to pick from. It's not like, you know.
Okay. Let me ask this question. Looking at November, let's say.
November per se.
Yeah.
lay us out a timeline of what our steps would be. You would go off and start writing up an outline, or just an outline of going from today.
Well, if it's talking about it, you back up from November, because that's
what I mean.
So, you know, you figure people, it could be they're unemployed and they're around, you know, they can be at work in 2 weeks. But you have to figure 2 to 4 weeks if they're, you know, before you get them, so which means you have to have them selected about the 1st of October.
Okay.
Which means then you're going to be interviewing them the middle of September. And which means you have the job announcement out late August. You know, or August, say the middle of August. Which means you have to back it up. It seems you really in the next 4 weeks, our next meeting, you would need, if you were picking November 1st, mm-hmm. you probably, by the 15th of July, you ought to be able to say, you know, let's move forward on a recorder type position, and we would then draw up the, you know, the outlines for
sure.
Recruitment and okay. all those things, and get it out in the different places. You know, when we did Citizens, this time we put it in Lee, Oregon cities, and, you know, we would do the, I was calling them some jobs that the government folks use, and those kind of things, beyond, of course, your normal bin bulletin, wise values, and those things.
I think that's a very good outline for me to give me an idea. I think that the questions then come up about, in conjunction with, you know, bringing a city manager on board, we're going to be doing some of that same stuff at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
We would want this person on board before the city manager gets here.
Right.
Okay. That alleviates, as you described, him coming on board and having to hire somebody. This person could already be gone through training to me, that sort of lays that out like that. And is there any question about this being the person we want, or the position we want? I mean, I see it as a very, very logical person to have from one side on the recorder and the financial, and then picking up a bunch of stuff in between. So are we sort of in consensus that this is going to be the foundation of our starting our staff? Is that clear enough? Did I say that right?
I think it is. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's lots of details that we would certainly want for that person to understand and know. You know, some that, I mean, we could go probably on for a long time, because I think it is one of those positions where they have a lot of different types of responsibilities. You know, I'm thinking that I'm not probably as aware, but I visited Maupin one time, and the gal that was in there,
right.
It seemed like she did everything. There's only one gal, only one person, and I was in there several times. We had some real estate dealing there, and that's the kind of person I envision, is somebody that really knows how to do just about anything in the office. You know,
and that's what recorders
yeah.
do, because in these Maupin-sized towns, Culver, they have a recorder. She does the bookkeeping, she does the minutes, she does the agendas, and then she has a helper.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a sewer system, and they people pay their sewer bills. And
Prairie City's one of the same. They've got two women, and one of them's been there about, I think she said about 18 years, and the other one's been there about 8 or 9. They don't have a city manager, and she does it all, mm-hmm. you know. The one, Diane, does mostly everything, just like you said.
That's the only reason I qualify. Maybe I have to get going. Could be that job's 3/4 time. You know, you have 2 3/4 people or something. But the time will...
Yeah.
What do you think about the timeline?
That's a good timeline. I like the idea of having an opportunity for that person to get oriented prior to a new city manager coming in, but it's going to be a lot of work for Rick, especially bringing both those new people on. So it needs to be staged that way, I think. So.
Well, bringing that and then bringing a new accounting system on board at the same time, I think he's going to earn his money.
Well, the fact is that person's going to learn the accounting system. Mary will keep doing what we're doing while that person's off at school learning the new system, you know. Yeah. And then when you kick it over, you know, in other words, there's almost no reason for that person to learn what Mary's doing.
Personally, I feel like that sounds like a real good timeline, but if it could be shortened up another month or something a little bit closer, I think it might even be better.
Well, you can shorten it if the council lets me. I mean, to be honest, most city councils are going to be very not involved in the hiring of a city recorder.
Right.
They're just going to tell me what it is you're looking for, and the city manager will go run the process.
Sure.
If I don't have to go through a bunch of meetings here, and we only meet every 2 weeks, and get agendas out a week ahead to you, that's what slows it down. I mean, hiring, again, other than the council hiring a city manager, and the councils don't really hire anything below that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you, I mean, that would be, but smaller towns, you're more involved, that's normal, so it just depends.
Yeah.
So if you could just tell me to run with it, and then decide, I think, on what I would want to do, since I'll be leaving, we could do what I talked about the manager, have you guys interview if you wanted. Let the council actually interview. Yeah. I could do everything. Let me run with it. Bring you five people, if you'd like to do that.
For the city manager?
No, for even the recorder.
Oh, the recorder?
You know, what slows me up is if I have to keep coming back each step.
Yeah.
But if you just said, you bring us five candidates, you know, and talk to me, give me those applications when you're done, and I don't want to hear from you on it for the next 3 months, just go do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because then you ultimately get
Or
you could say you wanted two of the five of you. You tend to be an active council, and so it doesn't matter if you wanted all of you to be involved or if you just wanted less than a small.
One thing that I just think would be nice is if it's a person that's willing to live here. It's just, I don't know if that's, sometimes a spouse works in Bend or something and it just can't work, but you know, it's really nice for the town, for the city, and for the people in the city to have that kind of a connection.
Well, we can put preferred, and that gives you that flexibility, and then I know that when I send you the names. You know, maybe you have a couple that are close and a couple that aren't. No, they got to live Bend or somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could say, before when we did this, we kind of said we wanted them, we used, I don't remember what we did, just within, what did we say?
Commuting distance.
8 miles or 7, 10 miles.
It just feels more permanent. Yeah, it just feels more solid doing it.
I'm with you. I mean, if you get... And the other thing is, you're going to train someone, and you're sending them off to a school for a week. Mm-hmm. You darn don't want them leaving you, because their spouse gets a job 2 miles down the road. And once they move here, it's harder to make. You don't just pick up and go as easy.
Yeah. I think also that I would want the city manager to refine it down less than five.
Yeah, I'd say 3 to 5.
Three at the most for me, just because I think personalities get involved, and I think we need to have the skill level here as much as anything, so I think by getting that skill, getting those three down, or getting three names, and we've already determined in those three that we're going to that. Almost if we picked any one of them, they're going to have the skill level, so they're going to have the background that really meets what we're looking for.
Prefer three, but if it's 3 to 5, I think that,
okay.
You know,
in other words, you got four, and they look like they're all good, and you want to look at them.
Don't we need to decide on what system we're going to use?
They're going to learn it. And we'll be working on that also.
When they come on board, if you're planning on sending them to school and not learning what we have now, we need to have that in place when they come on board, don't we?
But it'll all work out. You just tell me what you want, and it'll get done. Because in the sense of as far as if we're going to buy Cassell, I just say because that's the one that you know. There isn't very many people that know Cassell, but you don't need to. You just need to be able to understand bookkeeping, and you will learn it. These things are filling in the blanks. You know, basically.
So you will select the bookkeeping system that we're going to have also as the city manager, is that correct?
Yeah, and this will be going on during simultaneous. What you'll do is let the ads out, you know, on this thing. We'll be starting to interview, I'll have some other people involved, but we'll start interviewing software systems. And actually, before we actually hire, we maybe would have a preferred software system. Those companies, if we call, they'll be here tomorrow.
Yep.
Because they're in the business of selling.
I think it speaks to well for a software that is broadly spread across the cities in the state anyway, and that Cassell is a widely distributed software system.
Yeah, Condon just took Cassell. Justin was telling me the other one that's in Oregon. There's one that's kind of Oregon based, and so we want to pick one that's got some other users in Oregon, and you know, some that are kind of our size, say, you know, cities of from 0 to 5, 6, 7, 8, 10,000 people. You get into the bigger ones, and then your maintenance costs and all the other things are just, you just don't need it.
My personal opinion is I'd like to see three people selected that are qualified, bring them to the council, let the council decide from those three. And if by chance that you have four that's extremely qualified, then go ahead with the four, but I think three is a reasonable amount.
Do you guys want the council to interview, the full council, you think? I think it'd be good, because they are going to be a pretty key person for you. In a small city, I think it's justified to have them guys pick them.
I'd go either way.
Then because I'd rather you pick it. Actually, I didn't have any.
But you picked the
original. I don't know, Vicky. All right, so what are we counting for? But one of the things you do while we're here, just that I need direction on, the way I can figure out kind of what the wage range should be, and we put some money in the budget, so I'll come up with a range. Benefits. I can't start without knowing that. So, you know, we've danced around that. Don't worry so much about vacation. You know, our ORCA handbook is pretty good on that with vacation and bills and all that. And so really it is healthcare and retirement. What do you guys want to do on those? Right now we're providing employee only.
Yeah. You know, speaking of which, did we change our policy, our leave policy, our sick leave policy, and our vacation policy?
In that handbook?
Yeah, we did, right?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the handbook in a while to see what it is. I'll grab that.
So isn't it an accumulation of PTO time? And then, remember when we first...
Yeah,
we did combine them, so it's still combined.
Oh, that's correct.
I thought we were going to get rid of that.
I'm fine with getting rid of that. It's really then. So let's spend some time on those topics,
okay.
Because I'm not that big on the PTO. Man, it's whatever.
Yeah.
So right now, you know, people in the old days, remember, you got 2 weeks vacation, or you got 2 weeks, say, sick leave, 10 days sick leave and 10 days vacation. And then people started, you know, combining it to where you could use either, because we all know that if a person wants Friday off and they don't have any vacation, guess what? They're sick. I mean, so that's really why PTO came about, is because they're going to lie anyway.
Well, let's put the burden on them and let them do that if that's what they want. I think they're going to have time off and sick leave.
All in the vacation review.
You just have to pay them anyway, too. That was the point. You know, when you granted them sick leave, so people were going to use it, because once you had to pay them, they considered it money in the bank. You know what I'm saying? It's like, or some cities would pay you if you didn't use it. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I think it all became kind of enmeshed, entwined one with the other. Once it became payable both ways.
Well, I came out of the sick leave in one basket, and
vacation in another.
Mm-hmm. I think that there was another issue about accumulation.
Mm-hmm.
And that carryover. And that in the event that someone got sick, that they didn't have a bank that mm-hmm. they could pull from because they were taking, you know, because they used that PTO time when they needed it, like for vacation.
Mm-hmm. Or surgery.
Or whatever. So if when the time came, there was no incentive for to accumulate that. Right. So there was no mm-hmm. bank to pull from. So, you know, is that person out? I mean, not get paid for mm-hmm. if they're sick for more than when they, let's say they had 2 or 3 days left. So so in other words, I always talk too long. So there was no opportunity to accumulate sick time. There was no designated sick time.
So they were forced into unpaid sick leave.
Right. Okay.
Or if you do separate it back, then you decide, do we allow carryover? Do we allow accumulation?
Well, that's the other two pieces. That's the other two pieces.
Allowing. Which is a benefit you could offer.
Right. Amount of carryover. You know, we can carry
that's
over.
That's what it was, is that as a PTO time, there was no carryover.
Right.
Okay.
So there was no accumulation of a big mm-hmm. bank for sick leave. Okay. That's what it was.
Which actually gives people the incentive to use it even when they don't need it, because then their mindset is, well, I either use it or lose it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if you allow them to carry it over, then you can have the mindset, you know what, I'm going to, you know, I might really need it, even if I have to have surgery or something. So I think it's in a lot of ways works better when you separate it and allow the carryover as a benefit.
I know that I never had carryover at corporate level. We had vacation and we had sick time. I didn't ever take sick time, but it was at the end of the year. If you took sick time and you had sick time left, you started new at the beginning of January 1st. The same way with the dental care. If you used all of your you had X amount per year. Like orthodontics. If you used orthodontics all up, then you had to wait until January to start it over again. But I think there's something to be said for accumulation versus the other.
Especially nowadays, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I bet you don't find very many private enterprises that have anything like this at all in the pine.
Probably not.
One of the reasons most of our public entities are in trouble now is because of things like that, that they operate so much differently than private enterprise.
I agree with that.
I just personally feel like once you set this in place, you got to multiply it by every
employee
you have. And I'm inclined initially to go conservative. And if you need to ramp it up at some point a little bit, you could. And that makes it better for people as you go along. But, you know, everybody's in trouble.
We're making $180,000 a year on taxes right now. And if it wasn't for the franchise fees, we would be in trouble. Mm-hmm. Because there's very limited amount of benefits you could provide at and I'm saying $180,000 is just because we know what the property taxes mm-hmm. Situation is. So I just think that
we should start with what we have now. It's pretty generous.
Well,
it's 10 hours a month, 120 hours a year for the first 5 years. That's not, if you figure that out, because that's 15 days.
Right.
Mm.
It's not that.
Of what? What is that?
Say that again.
120 hours.
Mm-hmm. Of what?
It's either you can be sick or on vacation, because that's how it works. I mean, we don't have sick leave and vacation leave.
Okay.
Three weeks.
And so that's why people have done the PTO instead of giving two and two. Mm-hmm. The theory used to be, well, you know, but they only take 5 sick days, so but people got where they take them all. So, I mean, I understand why they did. They just said, look, mm-hmm. you're getting 15 days. I don't care if you're sick or on vacation. That's your business.
And carryover.
Well, they always let you use it. It addresses some of that carryover. But then it bumps up in year 6 to 10, 144. You have to realize that, you know, again, well, the negotiation with the employee, we have to have something to put in the ad. Then based on experience, if you get someone that's worked 10 years somewhere, they do not start back as if they were first-year employee, even though their first year with you, see, she knows. I mean, that will happen. You will have to, because otherwise you're just going to get someone who, people just don't leave for the heck of leaving. Yeah. So you may have to give them like they've been here 10 years.
And they won't walk away from benefits nowadays because benefits, especially medical, are huge. You know yourself, if you've got an extra $200 to $300 a month in pay, it's peanuts if you're paying $600 or $700 a month in medical coverage. So that's a really big thing for recruiting good people, I think.
So I think, you know, right now, so I guess you get 3 weeks if you're an entry-level employee from 0 to 5 years. You're going to get 4 weeks because it goes up to 24, so I guess it's adding 3 more days. So it's going up to 18 days, 6 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Is 18?
20 and
5. I have to get my calculator out.
24 hours is 3 days. Goes up 3 days. Yeah. In the 6 to 10.
So, you know, right now this is what we have. Obviously, to go change this, I mean, that's the only you start adding. Then I have to go draw up the changes. We got to bring them here. Implement them. Yeah.
But okay.
So you're just
although,
do you think that the 3 weeks PTO is just fine?
Again, you're going to have a full-time manager to change all kinds of things from now for forever. You don't have to do it all right now.
You're saying leave it like it is right now, and then we get down the road.
Because we're going to negotiate with who we hire.
Right.
So this could stay, and that's one of the things when you get your new person, you know, in that they say, one of the things we'd like to maybe look at this type of thing. Or we'll know a little bit from the response we get, too.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, what we would say PTO. It really, in the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether you're given sick leave or vacation.
Yeah.
The employee's going to use it.
Well, I think that we're a new city. We don't know exactly where we're going right now. I mean, we've got plans. We know what we want to do. But actually, the economy isn't the greatest in the world. So when they go to work for a city, at least they're going to get, the way we manage the city, they're going to get a solid base, something that they can depend on for years. My opinion is you start out a little bit low and then give them, as the city advances and the economy gets better and everything, then provide them with better opportunities. Go down out here in the city and ask the people that own their businesses what they get for retirement, how much time they get off, and how much it costs them for their health insurance. And I've already had people tell me that, man, I'm telling you, I don't want you to come anywhere close to the retirement and the benefits that the water and sewer people are getting, because we just feel that that's outrageous. So if they're thinking that, I think that we're going to have some people in the community that's going to look at whatever we decide to do, they're going to look at it pretty carefully.
Oh, and actually, bring it up, you're going to be changing this policy anyway,
right?
Because of sewer and water. So I would say leave it like it is, because they're going to negotiate, they're going to have a union contract of some type. We have to pay it per year. That's then when you need to sit down looking at where they are at that point, which we don't know what they'll be a year from now, where we are, and then make one comprehensive change, and that will become the new policy for the city that includes them.
So this person needs to know that coming in.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but whatever we give them, based off of what we have here, no one will be going down.
Right.
Because, I mean, we don't have any retirement. So we're only covering an employee and they get 15 days of PTO. So we're pretty.
I don't know anybody that has 3 weeks of vacation that works in Lapine, except unless they're government.
Well, but you are government.
I know, but
in the state. In the state. They have more than that.
Do they?
They're union.
But they have more than that. But we're just saying that, you know, when you work for certain entities, you know, you're going to have certain benefits.
I think I understand what Dan's saying is other than we have these one or two organizations, there is very little extended benefits. There's minimal benefits.
School people.
Well, that's
fire department.
Fire department.
Those are where you're. I mean, that's where you are. That's your industry. And if you guys want someone decent, I mean, if you want, I mean, I don't think you're saying this, but if you guys want to, they say you get 2 weeks a year, and that includes sick leave and that, and no retirement. Well, and we want you to have government accounting experience.
Well,
good luck. Well, that can still be negotiated. I mean, it doesn't have to be sit down and writing.
No, we don't. But what we do need to know, that's the problem, is to put an ad out. No one's going to apply if you don't have a retirement.
Yeah.
Well, we need to have a retirement,
so,
very definitely.
It sounds like you're okay with the personnel policy as far as the PTO and all that. We'll keep it because we're going to have to adjust it.
PTO.
We do need to decide on a retirement system, not the type, but if you give me how much you want to spend, we'll then, you know, work on that. And I can, I'm going to have someone help me with some of this. There's a nice lady I can have work on some of these things for me over the next few months.
Do we base the retirement on a tenure? Like, they're here for a few years before it kicks in or something? No? You just have
Well, what's our you have a best interest period.
I mean, but there's nothing.
Even private's vested. They're busted.
Yeah, they're
starting.
So where is this starting?
Well, I mean, you know, you all know, I mean, this is it's a judgment call. We all know most people in the government are on the PERS system, and it is what it is. Those who aren't, the sewer and water are at 9%. You've always gotten heard about 6%. There, you know, there's places that get 3%.
Well, don't we need to look at what we can afford?
Well, we budgeted 7, so it's in the budget. But that, remember, we said that, right? I mean, we said right, that doesn't mean you spend it.
No, I have a number of 5 in my head, so.
What would happen if we would go a certain percentage and ask the employee to pay a percentage? So in other words, say we went to 4% and asked the employee to contribute 2%, and then they're vested after 5 years. That's what I was. I was vested after 5 years, but my retirement was 2%, period. But it took 5 years to vest. So
we're talking about picking a number, percentage number?
I mean, you have to start narrowing these things down. That's why these things are difficult by committee. But you do have to. I do need direction on those things.
So what's your recommendation? What percent?
It's not based on me. I've never had retirement, so you know, it's not about me. And that's why you have to be careful. You just say, "Well, this is what I used to get." I mean, we all tell you know what I'm saying, because you always there's a market out there, and I would say you have to be 3 minimum. I don't believe you probably have to go above 6. And so, you know, I actually, Don's idea of making them pay some, I said that before, you could do 3 or 4, and then we'll match you up. If you do the 5th, I'll do the 6, or I'll give you 3, you get 3. If you want 1 more, I'll give you 1 more. We go up to 6. Ourselves would only put in 6, then that means they're putting in 3, that gets them to 9. So they're paying a third, we're paying 2/3. So in other words, if I want 3, I get 3. If they want us to put in 4, they put in 1, they're at 5. If they want another one, we'll go, they go, and so on. But the last, in other words, 3 they get, 3 are matched.
Okay. 3 is the base.
Yeah. So what you tend to find is a younger person might just take the 3 that you give them because they don't want to give any money, and at some point they'll think, I don't worry about retirement.
Okay.
That's one idea. You could just go a straight 6. And then I'll search out actually which plans, because there are some rules on some different things. There are some plans that don't let employer has to pay it all. The employee can't match, and so it gets more complicated. You give me the numbers, we'll put together the program. I've already had 2 companies come and see me. You know, they're all hot, but get on board. Well, and actually, the water districts, I'm going to talk to the one they have, because if we transition with them, it would be easy if we took the one that they're using. You know, these 401ks and some of these things. And because it doesn't really matter who it is.
Yeah. So who are they using?
I don't remember.
What will happen with the union issue, though, because that's going to complicate a little, definitely, trying to transition because of the mandatory pension payments that will be going in there, and then you're going to have that full year, so you know that's going to really make a transition from, if they stay. I actually talked to the guy in Salem, because I do work down in the Bay Area with union stuff, so you know, I kind of know how it works. And they were saying, how hard are they going to push that once they're in? How hard will they fight it if you try and say at the end of the year? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, that could be really, really...
But I think that's a bridge that we have to...
Well, but it's only a year, so that's all I'm saying. It's just wanted to split up that, you know, you have to keep that in mind, that whatever you're negotiating...
Yeah, I mean, that will come. We don't know if they're going to negotiate union insurance, or are they going to retirement, or keep what they have. Mm-hmm. So
what happens if the union is negotiating with the district and they can't come to an agreement? What happens then? If they go for this year and everything stays just the way it is, mm-hmm. and they don't come to an agreement, they're butting right heads the whole year. What happens then?
They walk out.
Where do we stand?
No,
we stand that we can replace them, or does it stand that we have?
There's no arbitration in the district.
No. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can't force arbitration on a union anyway.
You know, we don't want to get too deep into the unionizing discussion. Yeah. And so it's just, you know, I think that you said it, Mayor. I think, you know, you can only worry so much about that. We need a recorder and a manager coming ahead, and you know, and so because we're asking about a union that hasn't yet been formed, they haven't even started bargaining, and then we aren't taking them over for a year, and then we have to maintain whatever they get for another year. It's 22 years from now before they will actually assume whatever it is we're doing. So
I think we make money here by sticking to the idea of let's come up with some numbers for this retirement and give the city manager direction.
What do you think, Adele, on the numbers? I mean, you work in government.
You on the PERS system?
Yeah.
It's all
are you
going
to recuse yourself then?
No. I would say 3 to 6 and leave it up to the city manager as he does his research competitive.
I can go with that.
You give me a 6% cap,
right,
to work with.
That's good.
And if one works, then...
Can you do a survey and see what...
Yeah, we can. The problem is 99% of all governments are in PERS.
Yeah.
I mean, now, who did you want to survey?
You don't want to tell you that.
People like Mid State and, you know, people that are competitive, the school,
they're
PERS.
Fire department's PERS. County's PERS.
But does that mean we have to go there?
No, we're not going to go PERS. I tell you, the PERS system is so far above this.
Okay, so then if we don't...
So I would ask who do you want me to survey, because the answer is they're all in PERS.
Well...
Or the private sector.
Okay, well, I think we're competing with private sector right now.
Mm-hmm. I guess, again, I can go out and find out what Fred Meyer pays.
Well, if we knew what people in Lapine were paying, and to me that's... If somebody here, okay, we could probably get, you know, we could probably steal somebody from Vic Russell's company, or, you know, that kind of a thing. There's qualified people that are not getting the government rates and would probably like to have the opportunity. So I don't think that it means that there's nobody's going to take the position if we're only given 3% or something. But it needs to be competitive. Well, it needs to be competitive, and I don't know the number without knowing what the competition is.
Well, that's what we kind of said. Mm-hmm. If we go 3 to 6, and then Rick looks as he's researching, looks.
Yeah, and I'm comfortable with that. I'm just saying, just because somebody, the general government, is paying X, doesn't mean we need to go there.
Well, I know, but I disagree with you on is because we're not going into the PERS system, a whole bunch of people are not going to look at us anyway. We are going to be so far below what government entities get. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you make the statement that people don't get what government gets, you're right. This system we're talking about is not this is not what government gets. This is more like these private systems.
Okay.
3% 401ks. Mm-hmm. That's pretty basic. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty small.
It's profit sharing. And it's good profit sharing there.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, Stu can tell us when they pay. He's good. So what we'll do in this is we will find out, obviously private companies don't have to tell us anything, but we can find out what Stu pays, what some of the companies around Sunriver, the resort, what do they pay their
one and half
employees?
Pretty sure it's 1.5.
And then
they match.
Are we basically in consensus on 3 to 6?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that, I think. Okay. It sounds like that.
Okay.
Because we'll have to have it in place. We don't have to have it in place when we're hunting the person, but we'll need it in place. We'll have to pick a date to have it going. And then, under the law, all employees get it regardless. Mm-hmm. You might have to wait. So Patty's going to get a retirement. Would you like retirement? Okay. The other big one is health insurance. Right now, we're doing employee only. We pay 100%. Obviously, there's everywhere from there to full family where the entity pays 100%. You have, and again, I can get you 10 districts, and they're going to give you 10 different numbers. Some have a cap up to so much. Some it's a percentage the employee pays. So really what would help me in doing this is tell me a number that you're comfortable putting out. Don't worry about so much, in other words, you can get family plans for $1,000 a month. Maybe they have a higher deductible and they have things. You tell me what you want out. If the employee only has a spouse and you're in a cap at $1,000, most of their insurance is covered. If they got a family of 5, they're going to be chipping in. If they're single, it's no problem. Do you want to pay $800 a month? And it's just a gut call. We know they're getting $1,900 at the sewer and water district if they're full family. If they are not full family, it's like $1,400. Ben Fire's $1,100. Redmond was in the paper the other day. There's like $1,900. But they're union. Mid-States is about $1,200 or $1,300. I put in the budget about $900 a month.
Is Mid-States a full family coverage, or is it just the employee?
Well, they're all big, and what they do is they get pooled rates, and so mm-hmm. we're going to be so small that what's going to happen is because the sewer and water district has a couple single people, and they're cheaper. And it depends if they have a spouse. And what you find is if someone has a spouse with full medical and you're not going to pick it all up, they'll tend to put the family on that one and just take what you got. Mm-hmm. People will decide. Yeah. But we put about $900 a month in the budget. But because we're not going to have anyone for a few months, mm-hmm. If you decided you're going to spend $1,000, there's money in the budget to make it work. Then next year, of course, you'll have a full year.
Do you have anything in place now?
Yes. Member only at about $600 a month,
$500 something.
And we pay 100%. I think you should always have them pay like 10% or something. That gets them to know
that it costs.
So you could do that with a cap. Say, we're doing 90-10, but the city share can't exceed $1,000 a month. And then if they have family, they have whatever. And we have our city county insurance. And since right now we don't only have her, we haven't had to go check rates and things. And we don't know the person that we're going to hire if they have a family or not. So it's kind of how much do you want to put out on health benefits? It is across the board.
I think to start out, I think that $1,000 was a 10%. Employee to help with it. I mean, in other words, it would go up to $1,100. Is that sound?
Well, we've got budgeted $900. My thought was, around this 90-10 is a reasonable thing to do. I don't think we should go above the 900, but, you know.
You're saying that basically 900, they're going to put in about 100, so the policy would theoretically, if they pick the $1,100 plan, they're going to put in a couple hundred bucks.
Right.
You know, again, we'll go through and research kind of the different options, but I can't go from 500 a month to 2 grand a month. That's too much of a range. So you need to kind of tell me where your comfort zone is, and we will then come back with.
So you said that we're budgeted at 900 now?
Yeah. That's 8-something.
Based on how many, based on the projected number of employees that we would be carrying?
Yeah. Yeah, for our three, because this budget's only dealing with the three.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you're going to have, eventually, you'll have the sewer and water, and there'll be something. You know you're going to give more than probably just the employee.
So, can I ask a question? So is it 2,700 or is it 300? Is it 900 each employee?
Yes, yes. Okay. 900 per employee. Well, we budgeted 30 grand. And again, because we're not in that July, we're not having one here until November,
yeah.
Half the year. I mean, you could pay 2 grand a month and still the budget will be fine. But the problem is the next year,
yeah.
When you have to budget it. So money, as far as in our budget, you've got a big range.
Mm-hmm.
But for 12 months, I put in, it's like, it comes like 8-something. And it depends on the employee puts in 10%, so.
And we're only talking medical, right?
Yeah.
Medical joke.
Yeah, well.
I think we need to talk about what we can afford.
Yeah, I would say medical. You know, dental really doesn't help it. That much.
Dental's not that bad.
Dental's actually pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's not that good.
Yeah, it doesn't pay for much.
No,
and you don't get much.
$1,500 a year.
It makes people feel good.
Usually
mm-hmm.
Most of their maximum.
You almost get back what you paid.
Yeah.
I like the idea of creating the best package we can with what we have budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
If it's at 8-something or 9-something, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
And
do a 90-10?
Yep.
You guys like... Well, I don't know, it just seems like the employee, or just put a cap,
yeah.
We put up to so much, and I guess if you're under the cap, we don't care.
Right.
You go over it.
Yeah.
So we're talking medical dental, right?
Dental would be nice to add.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we have to decide.
Right now we have dental and vision combined.
Oh, so it's all in it?
Okay. So
yeah.
It's all in
okay.
One. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Vision's usually cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 20 bucks a month.
All right, cap at 9 for me.
900?
Well, I think if we've got budgeted 900.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I'd say it's 8-something.
That's what I'm trying to roll here a little bit with the fact that it's really less than 800. I mean 900. And I believe in the employee putting in some money. I think they ought to have some responsibility with it. You know, so we put a cap on it at 900 or whatever we've got budgeted, that's basically saying 900.
All right. I mean, it's easier, I suppose, if you're just going to say 900, that's a cap, then you don't have to figure a percentage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, the other thing you can realize, all of this is going to change.
Sure.
In 24
yeah.
months.
Mm-hmm.
But then we'll change it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You are.
I think we're going to deal with what we got right now,
yeah.
And we'll change it at that.
No, what I'm just saying is this isn't forever.
Right. Right.
I'm all for just rounding it off at 900 if that's it. But just round it up to the 900 figure instead. 847 is what he's got on there.
900 cap sounds like was what people want.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't think of it on the benefit side. We got the PTO.
Did we discuss the fact that they have to pay a percentage?
Well, we
said what the cap means.
Well, we said we'd pay up to 900 and they would pay whatever.
Do you want a 10%?
But
then that means that, you know, they could end up, they could get a $990 package.
Yeah.
Or if it's in Patty's case, if we do that, she gets a $50 pay cut.
And that's not fair.
Because she gets it 100% now.
Right. That's taking money away.
Now, you can adjust her pay up a quarter and fix it. But I mean, you know.
You have to give her a raise and then you can.
So you can, but just remember.
You give us 20, honey, I'll give you 10.
I don't know. It seems like, you know, even though that, well, I do contribute to my, but I mean, so we have a copay and we have a, not have to pay for the medicine, and I mean, there's still a lot of contribution. They're not getting like a 100%
prescription.
Yeah, and equipment or whatever you need. I don't know. So they, you know, it is a, they do invest money into it, but it, I don't know. I think it just capped it at 900. You know.
Well, I hear three of four are happy with that, so I put that down. And I doubt it's a big deal. I mean, you know.
So, so will this work out that they, that we're not buying all their drugs 100%?
Oh, well, no, we'll have to figure out what the policies, what the policies are and everything, and we'll go through the Oregon City, Oregon
so
City County.
If you just take that $900 budget and and you tweak it to make it the most attractive.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right. Well, basically, you know what, for 900, if they come in, we'll have options. If you're single, you'll be covered.
Yeah.
Spouse, you maybe have a decent deductible. If it's a family and they want to keep it around that range, they're going to end up with a big deductible. Mm-hmm. Or, but they may want to put 300, or like I said, they may keep the kids on dad's insurance and just put mom.
And you let
this.
And you let that wash out the way it washes out. You don't plan for stuff like that.
No, really, you need this because when you put it, they want to know what's my insurance cap or what's my insurance, whatever. That's a big deal. She said it. Insurance. That's a big deal.
It is.
Yeah. And then the other one you can't deal with goes back a little bit. What Dan said: houses. A person is really stuck right now with houses, and I don't. Professor, we would deal with that at all, but that's just a reality. That's really why people can't move. People, you say there's a lot of people looking for jobs, but if I'm stuck in Redmond with a house, I can't move to Levine. You know, you can ask all day long, but I can't move because I cannot sell my house. I'm 100 grand upside down.
I think that's realistic.
Rent them.
Walk away.
Even if they're renting right now in this area, I'm told that they get 5 or 6 walk-ins every single day, the real estate office down here wanting rentals, and so you can, it would be hard to get somebody to come in for just a rental, I understand.
So, you know, I'm just, what I'm saying is it is, that's a big factor right now with people taking jobs.
Yeah.
It really, so, we'll see, you know, that's why you, I think that's why you can't go, too low on everything, plus want to live in Lapine, and get any qualified person.
Yeah, I can live with that 900 cap. I mean, I just think that employers are to have a piece of the, you know, investing in something, and it makes them appreciate it more.
Well, if it was 900 cap from us and they were to pay part of it, they could go up to almost $1,000, $990, which, and I thought that was the understanding. It, we would pay up to $900, but they would still be paying a portion of that.
If they wanted something above of the $900.
Even I kind of felt that they should pay something regardless.
Most of them that have a percentage then don't have a cap also. You know, I mean, in other words, the reason they put a percentage is, so mine's 1,100, I'm going to put in 110.
That's true.
See, what we're saying, we're only going to pay 900. They're going to pay everything above it.
Right.
So, it's,
I get you.
You've got a hell of a percentage. Most people, besides a single, will pay money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think with government, with these policies, you can get a spouse, two. If it's a single mom, I say, and a kid, it could be maybe. Because kids are cheap.
Okay.
So,
work it.
What we'll do, are you guys, we'll start working it.
Yep.
And to try to make it move a little quicker. And I am going to, there's a young lady that I can get to help us starting here in a week or two that can work a little bit. And she may have to work from home, but I can have her research some of these things and hunt out some of the stuff and help with get this done.
Speed it up?
Well, yeah, because it's, you know, with all the other things that we're working on, because it is making me a little concerned when you have two recruiting processes. We'll have some overlap, get the person here, but mostly we could get that person here before we interview the city manager.
Yeah.
So we'll have a couple things out.
Okay.
So is everyone okay with all that? Then we can go to the city manager.
Yep. Yep.
So here's a timeline on that that I put together. I backed up from January. But my questions on this, more so than on the wages and benefits, because we'll make it the same, basically, it's got to be.
I agree with my cord for this computer. So, you guys can glance at that. Basically, start developing things in September or August.
So are we again talking about, okay, you go off and do this and bring us 3 to 5 candidates?
Well, no, on this one I want to, you know, do you want the lead boarding cities? I think on them,
sure,
we could use them for various things. We can put the ad out,
right,
and do those things. But maybe you can use them to help where they go through a narrow, because they know kind of who's out there sometimes.
Do we have to pay for that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can we get a grant like they did last time?
I don't know.
I thought the city got half price.
Because we negotiated.
The grant was on check.
They reduced it down.
They reduced it?
Yeah, the skill and staff.
Well, it sounds like a grant.
What they did is they came with a broad proposal to us. And the council said that proposal is too big. And we sent it back to him. They sent us another proposal that was roughly half. Isn't that right, Adele?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the city wrote a check for whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I think we can come up with the basic job description, mm-hmm, and the announcement and those things. And then say you get 30 applicants. They have a certain, you know, for X amount, they would take those and go through and you'd say, give us the top third, bottom third, middle third, or those kinds of things. They know this person's job hopped. You know why? You'll never read it. They know this person is
okay.
Been troubled, and they'll put him in kind of this category. You know, and then what they usually do, they'll give you that top group, and then internally we narrow it down to the ones you want to interview, and normally 3 to 5.
Okay.
Or, but they also will do it all. I mean, you can pay them, and they put the ads out. The resumes are actually sent to them.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger, or whoever happens to be doing a thing, you know, whoever the group is, they've got. They make money off this. This is a lead board that likes to do it.
Yeah.
So it's whatever.
Yeah,
it can cost a few thousand bucks.
Isn't it your recommendation that we could do some of these things and? I mean, you were saying that to begin with, and I think we could too.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, use them in some capacities. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
we're going to advertise is one thing. Are we going to advertise exclusively in Oregon, or are we going to advertise outside the state?
Well, it would go on to the. There's these job service things that OCCMA and all these different.
I get you.
You know what? Though, mostly. It's Oregon, Washington-ish. Although, with this kind of a job,
yeah.
Well, when we did Sid's job, I had people from Kansas, Florida, Texas. They know how to find, these people know how to find these. If you're
when we hired the fire chief, it was a really neat process. Were you involved in that? And it got the community really involved because they had three panels of 4 or 5 people,
mm-hmm,
that each candidate, somebody pre-screened about 7 people,
right, mm-hmm,
and we all got to talk and ask certain questions, and there was a whole system. But what was really cool is that group honed them down to 3 or 4 people and kind of rated them, and actually they were all pretty close, and then they went to their board, the council, their board, I mean the fire board, and they made the final decision, and they selected the same one that, mm-hmm, the community wanted. And it was,
yeah,
and then
good.
The community knew the guy and loves him, and he's a part of the community, and it's just,
yeah,
it's pretty cool. It was a really fun process.
You know, I did the fire chief, which I told you when I came down here, but I did the fire chief recruitment in Jefferson County. I ran it from beginning to end. And we did a lot of what you're saying. We had 3 committees. One was, in that case, firemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, the technical.
The staff.
Yeah.
So in this case here, you maybe would have someone over from sewer and water. At that point, you know, we're you know, marrying up. We don't have anyone else. I mean, most places have more employees. But, you know, you could do that. But then we did one with community people. We took some business people. We took some others. And they each, we had three groups. Each one interviewed these people. We rotated them around. And then all that entire group got together and they told which one. In that case, they all got together and said, we, our group liked this candidate first, this one second, and why.
Yeah.
And then they all got here, and it was funny how about three quarters of people all liked one.
Yeah.
And then one group was like the opposite.
Really? The firemen, right? The firemen?
No.
No.
No. The firemen liked the one that they got.
Oh, okay.
At the time. But and then they ultimately made a recommendation to the board.
Yeah.
At the top. Mm-hmm. You know. So we could do something like that.
I like that.
Well, I just
the legal isn't gonna do that.
No, yeah. But the community gets to know the people, and it can serve you well in the long
run. Well, I think that what you want to do, if we got it down to three, we would have a reception the day before the interview. You'd have them the night before. This is what schools do. This is your long-term city manager. And I was an interim. That, you know, we just threw throwaways. But you've got this person you're going to keep. I think you'd have a reception somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe, and usually it's social in nature. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have it down at WikiUp or something. And, you know, and it's kind of a meet and greet. Mm-hmm. And you can have community, the chamber or someone, they can put a thing out. And mm-hmm. people get to come out and shake hands and tell war stories. And then the next day, you go through this process in the morning. Then the afternoon, the candidates are done. And then these groups start to kind of talk about who they like. And, you know, there's ways to...
Yeah, I like that.
I think
it was good because by the time we hired, or they were hired, everybody knew all the candidates pretty intimately.
And that was true too. There was guys from Florida and Colorado and all over the country. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, I mean, everybody eliminated the bottom four, so just like that fast.
Yes, you usually can.
Do we have to pay for them to come or do any of that?
That, you know, we don't decide that now, but you sometimes when you're kind of narrowing them down, I think you keep in your brain. I mean, you don't want three candidates from Florida and you're going to send them, you know. I don't, you're probably not, it's going to most likely not going to be people from too much. Although, where was he at when he came?
Mike? Alaska.
Alaska, yeah.
And did they pay for him to come down?
I don't know. I don't think. I was under the impression that no. I mean,
I was.
But those are all, you do definitely put them in the motel and do those things. And sometimes you can have it. We play that by ear based on who we get. You got to be careful with some of these people, because some of these folks, like you say, there's some idiots out there. They got nice resumes. You'll fly them out here and spend a bunch of money. And usually on the phone, you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
And then I think with a city manager, I think too, but it's a little different than the fire chief. Probably after we get our top one, I think it's not bad for a couple people to go to that town.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Because you're talking to city manager, and you go, their reference list, shred that. Mm-hmm. After, you're going to check those, but then shred. Who puts on someone that doesn't like them on their reference list?
Yeah.
So you've got to go in that town and go walk in the Chamber of Commerce, and you walk around to places, and especially city manager, go to the county.
Yeah.
How was your relationship with the city manager when he was here, or she? You know, what did they get involved in? They say they were a Kelanian. See if they ever really were.
Mm-hmm. We forget to do that.
But that's kind of the timeline, so we would be getting on that, you know, we'd be putting ads out, you know, September.
So what information do we need to really...
Well, what you need to start down doing that night, we need to start thinking about, and we can put together some, we can do that in July, but what do you want in a city manager? And we could spend a few minutes on that, because again, just to kind of started, we've danced around that a little. You could get a city manager that knows planning. Usually a city manager will know something.
I don't.
Because a city manager isn't born one. So they come down a planning path a business path, public works. I mean, and they all might have started in the private sector and worked their way through. But so, you know, I think that, that when we build this job description, again, it helps if you, you narrow it so we know kind of what expertise. If we weren't doing the finance person, I'd say you might get a city manager with some finance knowledge. But we're kind of covering that in the other piece. Because you don't want, you're not going to probably find a public works planning city manager finance person.
Right. But we are looking for, based upon what we know is down the road, we're looking for a city manager that's got that that skill set, plus he's also got a skill set around public works.
You guys need to discuss that.
Well, I mean, that'd be preferable. I mean, but potentially you could have another public works person. I mean, that's a possibility if the situation was right. But I think that's desirable. But what if there isn't such an animal? You know, I mean.
Well, they're out there.
They are. Okay, the city managers come from planning, public works. I mean, that's where they come from.
Okay.
Yes. Like I said, you're not.
So I agree with that. I think, you know, that's really important. I think that's very important
essential.
At this point.
Yeah.
With us.
I think that if we look at the long term or the bigger picture, the bigger picture, we're actually talking about, you know, enhancing our staffing by having somebody with skills in public works.
Yeah.
Because if we don't want to think about hiring a city manager and then hiring a public works person.
Right.
Because we know that, or I don't believe that we have a full-time city manager position until we get a little further down the road.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and if we get somebody that's got public works, then
strength in public works.
Some strength or some kind of strength in public works.
Well, isn't it true that you know, Deborah can serve us on the planning side for some time? Isn't that?
Yeah, and there's a lot of planning consultants and people because we can't afford a planner. We're trying to put on.
So to me, that's like that planning side of it is not very high on the list of necessary. It'd be nice, but it's not a strong point. It's not a real big problem, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's a service that we said that we were going to provide within a year, right?
Yeah.
And then we can do that, And then so we can do that. I think there's a lot more options on the planning side that we, you know, there are other cities that take those responsibilities or the, you know, like the county or whatever.
Right.
So, I would lean towards a city manager with a stronger public works background.
And if they're any kind of city manager, they've been around planning, you know, they've dealt with planning issues and things like that anyway. I mean, it's not like they're totally ignorant of that aspect.
They'll kind of pick that up as they're here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So a public works background is, you know, and then we'll have to decide how heavy to put that.
Yeah.
But do you want it
how much?
Above more than just
50%, more 40%?
Well, I mean, in other words, every city manager can say, I know public works because they all had one. But that doesn't mean that they got very involved. And
I think we want somebody that's been involved.
In other words, the assistant city manager in Matters is the public works director. He will move up, take Mike Morgan's job in their thing. The city manager in Heppner was the public works director in two cities before he got there. They're all over the place. They were the public works director. They were out there. They know how much asphalt goes on a road. They know how thick a sidewalk is. And they become city managers. So then they literally, when they're meeting with their foremen and things, they can say, hey, you know, we need this valve on that, or, you know, are you sure we don't need, you know, or on snow plowing, this is what we need to do, and how much crown to put in the road. They did it.
Yeah, I think
so,
we need
them. Or you're going to get one that just simply got reports from a city manager.
So what we need is something, an operational type manager, someone who has done the operational side of things, not more of the administrative type.
Public works, you were saying.
Yeah, the operational, yeah. Like an operational manager.
Right. And under that is X amount of documentation, paperwork, but mostly it's hands on.
Yeah,
somebody like the mattress guy. Maybe the mattress guy wants to move to Lapine.
they're actually all probably a third of the public works. I mean, managers work their way up from public works.
If we really go public works really strong, and we're leaving the planning kind of as a secondary thing, does that mean that we will give the planning commission a little bit more say in how the city is going to be planned and how it's going to be carrying out the rules and regulations for that, and then have their recommendations come to the council with a little more credibility than somebody that has expertise in that area?
Not really.
Is that the idea of having Deborah still?
Yeah, you're just going to have the thing is, you may only need 4 or 5 hours a month of planning consultants, and so we're going to spend 10, 20 grand a year on a consultant that does planning, and they will come to the meetings we were talking about tonight. The planning commission is supposed to, again, it's almost like what we did with BioGreen. They're the judge and the jury. What you just described is they get to be at all. So they get more involved and they go out. Their idea is to hear what your thing is, and they need to become knowledgeable, like a judge has to know what goes on. Mm-hmm. But they don't go out and help the person talk. That's the Deborah or the person, and so their role doesn't change that much. Okay. I think.
Well, it was discussed tonight in the planning commission, and I think that we've got somebody sitting over there that's very interested in that.
And that'll kind of go, but there are lots of planning people. A lot of small cities hire consultants for planning.
I get you.
Contracts. You can't afford a planner. I mean, that.
Oh, I didn't figure.
No. And then the other thing is, you do have a couple of years, there won't be a lot going on just because of the economy. So you do have some wiggle time to figure that all out. You know what will happen? A city manager, regardless of their background, be like, I mean, I can hold many conversations with anyone that comes in over. You know, I have people come in all the time and want to know what they're zoned. And, you know, I mean, I can go to a map and say, well, you know, this is what you're zoned, this is how you do it, this is what you can't do, and, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, because then what happens is people start to know that in 6 months this opening's coming up. When I'm out running around, I mean, I get this listserv, I know all the city managers are getting fired. There's one a day. You know, basically. And, you know, so it's...
So we're trying to decide on what the emphasis of this person's going to be. Are we talking about maybe 40%? Or we look at a third of his background and experience? He's got a real strong 40% strength in planning public works, and the rest of it is city management. I mean, is that the answer you're looking for? What are you looking for from us?
I'm just listening to you. You guys talk long enough, I get what you're wanting. I'm assuming probably the person is, whether it's 40 or 50 or 60, but in basically...
A 50-50.
In other words, these public works directors all got their first city manager job somewhere.
Yeah.
So you literally could have a public works director who then, because, you know, they become your city manager, so they're well above 40% of public works director.
Right.
We don't know until you kind of see what comes through the door. But I do think if we're going to heavily load a public works, because in the recruitment, you need to know.
Yeah.
Because that's a big deal.
But in all of our services that the city provides, it's all public works related, like the streets.
Sewer and water.
Sewer and water.
smoke
mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes, yeah.
Future planning would be the CIP budgets and all of that. So, and they would be very familiar with those things, so.
Well, and public works do get into some planning because they tend to be involved in SDCs, mm-hmm. which is a planning type thing. And because they tend to be on all site plan review meetings, because they have to meet with applicants on driveways, access, sidewalks, and they're sitting in on those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty, actually, if you look at an average construction project, half of what, besides just whether it's zoned right, mm-hmm. if you really are to dissect what the city really gets involved with in a planning issue, it's public works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Roads, sidewalks, streets.
Yeah. Hydrants.
Fire hydrants.
Mm-hmm. You know.
It's, and that's why they become city managers.
Yeah.
I think we need to have somebody too that has some strength in sewer and water if we're going to have that.
Yeah.
So I mean,
well, every city pretty much
is the public.
That is public. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You may have one that maybe only had sewer, didn't have water.
But the idea is to know how to handle it, because right now things don't look very bright in that area.
Well,
personal opinion.
I think the fact that what are the elements that we have in the city? We're going to have sewer and water, and we're going to have the city, the rest. And so if you take and look at what his skill sets need to be, they need to be pretty well divided.
Yeah.
It seems to me, because we don't do sheriff, we don't do fire, we don't do any of those other things. Our biggest challenge is the public works, the sewer and water.
The trick when we can do it, we got to find a public works. We want a public works person that has a personality.
Yeah.
Because that's one problem you can get into with the public works people sometimes. You know, they got their spenders on, and they got body parts hanging out, and they're used to bending over, and then you try to clean them up and send them down to the chamber breakfast,
that was good. So along with that is the ability, just like you've been able to get some of these people to clean up their yards and stuff like that. Well, it takes a personality to do that. You know, you've got to kind of have that willingness to.
So that's what I'm going to do, is really flush hard on finding that right mix of a public person that does public works. Because I think Lapine needs someone. You got to be able to kind of work in, it's a small town, and you can't have a person that's out there. Because, you know, public works people can be what public works people kind of are. You work around them. You know, some of them don't really care much what anyone else thinks. And I'm dumping gravel there and get out of the way because I'm just hitting the button. And it's coming off the truck.
Yeah.
You know, and we need more finesse than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would also say that we've had the very great opportunity here and the benefit of a city manager that has been able to step in and do all these things and actually deal with issues and lay them out very verbally well and all of that. And I think that we also need somebody. I mean, you've been able to say the hard things when it come time to say it in a very palatable way.
Attempt to, yeah.
And generally you're successful. But I think the idea is that, you know, when you're gone, you know, I think we're going to have a great deal of expectations out of a new city manager that are going to, we're going to be looking for some of the kinds of skills that you have.
Yeah, brother. It's a public works.
I'm all sisters.
I'm just saying that I think it's important that when we look at the city manager side of it and the cleaning up of the public works person idea, that we already know something that's successful, and we want to get somebody that's a good mix that's got some of that successfulness to them. So,
you know, and I think too, you might get some of those maybe not quite as much the public works as you want, but they're real good in the other area. You know,
and that
a good person can learn anything.
Yeah.
I mean, give them a chance, they really can. And you know, the public works I mean, public, the sewer and water districts have employees that obviously are running the system every day and you know, keep the pipes going and have the plant operating. So
I think I think to piggyback on what Ken said, I think that I mean, you've been entrenched in there. You know what the personality traits that we need. So I think that we're probably going to rely heavily on your recommendation.
I am.
Because I wouldn't probably have too much of an idea on what the personality traits would be to deal with the water and sewer.
If I was building this city, and the part fighting is because we do have people that we know or friends, and there's people that have relationships with people, and so that makes it tough. Mm-hmm. So if you just were to check that at the door, and that is hard because we're all human. You would build the city around a city manager that has lots of public works. And the reason I say it is, it's going to be 60%, 70% of your employees will work in it. 75% of the service you will provide
is in it.
75% of the people coming through the door at City Hall any given day will be there to pay the utility bill, mm-hmm. to ask for a water or sewer hookup, or have a problem with it. On weekends, the calls that a city manager will get at home will probably be, my septic's overflowing and they did not come pump it like they should have. It's going to be, why isn't my road plowed? How come they didn't re-plow? Because now we're getting a melt. So, again, if you just forget all personalities and all who's out there, the city of La Pine, since they don't provide fire and police, the next big gorilla is public works.
Yep.
And so, it's really a pretty simple decision.
So you need a lot of PR skills, is what you're saying.
We also talked some time about the code enforcement officer position. So now, is that going to be incorporated in this plan?
Well, no. The code, you probably are going to have someone going out and doing that.
Contract.
We would. Mm-hmm. Your city manager. What I'm doing is we don't have anyone, right. And the city manager may do some of that. But you're almost better off as you move down the road. Is that, believe me, keep them out of that. You're almost better off having a neutral party kind of go out, take the photos, research out who these people are and everything, and then make that initial contact, mm-hmm. and then they report to the city manager. The code stuff, I was driving around today, is where do you start?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you set the bar at only the worst, there's a list.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, see, I think that's going to be one, one of the big hot spots.
Yes.
That's
and you know what? Public works can be, Adele, it's a good point you're making, because the public works people, they can also do some of those. In other words, the public works folks can see when they're not doing things. They see these blighted areas because they're on them. They're checking meters, they're up and down the road. They can say, hey, we got a problem over here on this and that.
Yeah.
If the city has to go in and clean them up, that's where the backhoes and dump trucks are. So the city manager that you hire, if they have time, I think they'll do code. The codes, what I was trying to explain to them is you took 100 years to get where you are, mm-hmm. with extra things around people's houses. Mm-hmm. And it is going to take a while to get all those things properly placed, So, mm-hmm. And for a lot of reasons, you've got houses that are abandoned, you've got broke houses, you've got people with no money, they don't have any but a car, they can't haul the stuff away, they can't afford the garbage service, and everything in between.
Yep.
So, but I think you're on the same page. I think it's the right track.
Yeah.
I think that we've pretty much giving you an avenue to go. I think the next thing we need to do is to figure out how much money we can afford to pay.
The city manager?
Pardon?
The city manager?
Yes.
Well, we put in the budget, and I'm going to do some, that's one thing, we'll do some research on cities in that 1,000 to 5,000 population, mm-hmm. And kind of get an idea. And we put in the budget 75. And I actually put it 55 to 75, but I put 75 in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you, I just saw where, I mean, it was a pretty big city. I just saw it was 90,000, but it was a big city. I mean, you know, when you're up at 75, you're getting up there. You're going to be able, in the 60s, you should be able to find a, I think,
decent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 65, 70,000, you should be.
And then does the city manager's benefits fall right in with the ones that we were talking about here?
Mm-hmm. And once you have a system, everybody gets it.
Okay, the city manager and all the other employees.
Yeah, and actually, I have retirement service by law. You, whatever, you can't give one other.
Okay. You, so the contract is actually just includes the salaries, not the benefits.
Well, you know, whether or not you want a contract with the city, the contract is an employment type. It's not a contract. It's a little, I don't know if it's a contract like you have with me, but it's a little bit different, I suppose. But you're going to have, we would negotiate like a 2-3 year contract with the person. The biggie in that is the severance agreement,
mm-hmm.
because the rest really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of always, people, the government's gotten too far out there in these severance agreements where they're giving guys a year severance.
Yes, but
but you're probably going to have to. That's a big one. That when you pick your person, that's one of the key things they're going to really negotiate is that severance agreement. You're probably going to have to provide 3 months severance, 6 hopefully max. But that's a huge issue with.
So is that part of our hiring then?
No, that's all after you select. Then if you'll notice on that timeline, it goes into the negotiation. That's why a lot of times your first candidate never does come to work for you, because you just can't reach agreement, you know. But yeah, you negotiate. But in the back of your mind, be thinking on those things, because that city manager turnover is high enough. You know, it's just the nature of the job.
But when they're applying, I mean, when they're applying, they know some of this criteria, don't they? Okay. Know the wage range, or don't they know the salary?
I know. We'll put the wage range and all of that.
Okay.
And you know, I don't know what you did in interim. And when you hired a city manager, I don't know how many were involved. I mean, I don't know if you had a bunch of applicants.
We had quite a number of applicants, but then they...
How many were real city managers, or...
Most of them are, huh?
Was it work? The good ones, though, kept getting picked off and found other jobs before we got it narrowed down.
There should be some people looking for jobs. There should be some unemployed public works directors, because cities and stuff have had to lay off. People would accept a little different, you know. But they do get fired. I mean, city managers come in.
So is there going to be any allowance? We didn't really budget for any allowances, like for a cell phone or a car allowance.
Those kind of things. You know, most of the smaller towns probably don't get into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to pay mileage when they're traveling, but I definitely, on that one, I'm assuming we want them living in the area.
Yes.
More so than the recorder.
Yes.
They need to move here. Live within 7 or 8 miles, somewhere between Sun River and Crescent or whatever, I'm assuming, or somewhere.
No,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, they have to be. Of course, they're not going to be here for your nights and your weekends.
No.
And so, in that ad, where the other one might say preferred, or, you know, in other words, the one, it's desired.
One through
the other one is, you basically will. And that way they know, because I don't want to have a bunch of applicants.
Yeah.
That you think, God, this person's great, and then you get them through the system, and then when you say, well, when are you moving? They say, well, I'm not moving.
Yeah.
So you want them to know, don't even bother applying if you can't move to Lapine.
Yeah.
On that. I don't think it will work for you or anyone if the city manager doesn't live here.
No. Because he can't handle those weekend calls and pump those septic tanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, something else that I've noticed about what you've done that's really been valuable is the connections with a lot of the other people in the, you know, in the region, in Central Oregon and at the state level and stuff. And it's very likely that this person may not have those, but if they have those kind of relationships where they came from, they probably would make those connections.
Yeah.
But I think from at our stage in development, having those great relationships with the other communities in Central Oregon and at state level is really important.
And you can actually put that in, kind of, you know, able to build relationships, and then they'll come in and talk to you about their experience in it.
Yeah. I think this whole idea, especially, you know, with all your relationships, mm-hmm. that, you know, has been a benefit for the city that we don't even pay for.
No, I mean, I agree with that. But on that side, you're not going to probably
find somebody like
mm-hmm. yeah, that has my relationships.
Yeah.
But, and if they even come from Central Oregon, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Although they could have a relationship in the Valley, and they may know some Salem folks.
Yeah.
Just regional, but the thing is, you need them to ramp up to that.
Yeah.
And they got to have that personality to do
right.
it.
Right.
So, no, I think we got a good start. I'm going to do this, and I appreciate it's been a good. This is what we need to do.
It's been good.
We'll start down this path.
Any other questions or comments or other matters? None.
This is the book. I tried to send it to you, but it's probably too big. But anyway, this is the book on our city hall.
Yeah. By the way,
that's just the book. Here's the thing, and I got 7 copies here for local contractors of each, and got them in there, and she's going to check them out for people. Next 5 o'clock next Monday, we're going to be over at the new building, and the contractors should be showing up in any subs, and you know that maybe they can bring cotton candy and bring their families. I have no idea, but we'll be there on Monday night at 5. We're going to have a booth at Great American, that's Culver Celebration, at the Frontier Days. And we've got a band that we're going to have there, and I'm not sure what we're selling, giving, or talking about, but we're going to stand there, and I'm going to be there, and I'll smile.
Well, we're just going to stand there?
I'm not sure what we're doing there, but we're going to be there.
We have a dunk tank. Would you want to do that?
That would be a good idea.
I did the dunk tank once in the 4th of July celebration in Madison, and when I was mayor. And I said, I won't do it because they always wanted me.
Yeah. I was just kidding.
So, I don't know what we're going to do.
You and I will talk about that.
Because next week, I will be here Monday. I wasn't going to be here next week. I was physically going to be here when I told, but now I am because of the Monday thing. So I'll be in on Monday and do some things. But then I got my raft trip next week, and I got 16 people at my house. And then the following week, I will come in on Thursday and stay through Saturday so I can be here for the event. And I've got that cable meeting at 1 o'clock at Roslyn Elementary. We sent out the notices to all the neighbors.
On Friday?
On the 1st.
That's the 1st.
Friday the 1st?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You and I went over that 10 times. Mm-hmm. Right, you got that down.
Okay.
That's the first. We get giving this. But at 10 o'clock, there'll be the swearing in at Sewer and Water of the new board members on the 1st.
Is that
the
end?
10.
Donna only had it advertised at 1.
Well,
sent the ad out.
Oh, she did.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be 10 because Tony DeBone's doing it, and they've got that on the calendar. And I moved my meeting to 1. I had my meeting at 10.
Somebody better talk to somebody.
The new board members say it's 10.
The new board members say it's 10. Tony's going to be there to swear them in at 10.
That's all that matters.
Okay. So, are there any public comments? Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
When is Stu coming back?
Tomorrow.
Oh, really?
He planned that.
You know your flags that are up down the street? Who put those out?
Frontier Days.
And then they